Amen. It was a wonderful, 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 wonderful Lord's Day. Thanking God for the addition to the family, Brother David. We will continue to pray for him that he may be strengthened, as it has already been mentioned, that he may be an example to those that are around him. God allowed us to awake this morning, some to be in their right minds, to have the activity of their limbs, to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. If nothing else, we should give God thanks for that awakening.
Amen.
But this is the Lord's day to come together to sing praises unto him, to partake of the Lord's Supper, and to give back a portion of that which he has allowed us to prosper, to continue to pray to him, and to hear his word being proclaimed. There are many, many things in the Word of God that we can talk about, that we preach about, that we teach about. And one that I have preached many sermons on is on that great day. The day in which our God will send his Son back.
Amen.
And I would just like to say that there are some that are not going to be prepared. There are some that has already died and they were not prepared.
Amen.
So I would like to talk to you on this morning the subject of surprise, surprise, surprise. And we all like surprises, do we not? A lot of times we ask people, prepare me for a surprise. My sister-in-law, I got ready to hug her one day. She said, whoa, wait, wait. I got to get ready for this. She'll give me a warning. She's not always like that, but there are those times where she don't want to be touched. And that's okay. That's understandable. We're all like that from time to time, that we don't want anybody to touch us. But you know what God is going to do one day? For each one of us, according to the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto us once to die, and after this to judgment. Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, we can get a doctor's report. We can get that phone call. Our loved one is dying. The doctor give you a time, give you a date, or give you a date and give you a time. He or she may be right. He or she may be wrong. The question again is, are you ready? Are you ready? Because it's going to happen. You are going to die. We are going to die. I remember way back when I used to say, if I die, and a brother would say, no, it's not a if. You are going to die. And he's absolutely right. And I've seen people die. I've heard of people dying. And it's happening every day. It's happening every minute. It's happening every second. It just hasn't happened to you and I yet. But you know, the thing that we need to realize is that some of us are spiritually dead.
Amen.
And we need to wake up and we need to realize that God is going to judge us on that great day. He's going to judge us. And the thing is, are we ready to hear the verdict? Are we ready to hear the verdict? And we have people gathering in courtrooms. Someone has murdered their loved one, or even someone in your family has committed a great crime, and we gather in the courtrooms to hear the verdict of the judge. Is he guilty or not guilty? How long is this person going to get? What is the sentence going to be like? Or is he just going to get probation? We need to ask ourselves, or be ready. In John 5, 28 through 29, again, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, how many are going to still be in the grave? How many are still going to be in the grave? Not a one. Brother Brian, what does that say? What did you say it means?
It means all.
Are you sure? You sounded a little hesitant this morning.
All means all. That's all mean.
That's all mean. Can it mean anything else?
Okay.
Anything less? Anything more? Because it's all, isn't it? So who is going to hear his voice? All that in the graves will hear his voice. We need to understand that on that great day, there are some that are going to try to bargain with the Lord. We can't bargain with God. He's not, Lord, you know, let me give you this ultimatum here. Let me tell you what I want. Does God, it's not a trick question. Does God care what we want? The Bible does say he gives us the desires of our hearts, right? But does he care what we want? God gives us the things in which we need. But Antonio pointed that out this morning in class. Brother Richard, he taught an excellent class on the temple of God. But in order for God to dwell with us, we must do it the way he tells us to. We must live our lives the way he tells us to. He has given us, laid it all out for us. Book, chapter, and verse. We need to look at it. But the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, first off, the only ones that's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And we have these little dots right here, and you can go and look at it where it says, some, you know, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in thy name? Have we not done these things? Have we not? We need to ask ourselves, does God care if we have not done all that we're supposed to do? The answer is no, he don't care. Because he said, then will I declare to them, in verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You that have done things wrong. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Everybody's going to heaven. No, everybody's not. Heaven is prepared for those that are ready. Those that have prepared themselves. Remember, you know, Jesus telling his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So we need to understand that a lot of times when we look at God's word and we see the things that God is saying, that we need to be getting our lives in order. For that day is going to come, and there are many people that are not going to be ready for it. So we need to do what is right. We need to do what is right. Do you like surprises? I asked that question earlier. Do you like surprises? Some people say, well, wait now. Turn off the lights and don't holler surprise yet. Wait till they come through the door. And you surprise some people, and some people when you yell surprise, you may just give them a heart attack. You don't realize what you're doing. You need to examine. First off, think about what kind of heart do they have. See, we have some people in here this morning have heart problems. You have a heart condition. Your heart is not right with God. And on that day, when God sends his son back, you don't have to worry about a heart attack. You don't have to worry about calling the doctor, calling 911. There's nothing you're going to be able to do except receive your just reward. See, those that say that there is no God, they are going to be surprised. So we need to quit living like there is no God and live like there is a God, you know, just in case. They know just in case there is a God.
Amen.
But there are those that say that there is no God. In the book of Psalm chapter 14 and the verses 1, the fool says in the heart, there is no God. They're all corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. The fool now says in his heart that there is no God. On the day of judgment, he or she is going to be surprised. God, I didn't think that you really existed. From eternity to eternity, I have existed. He don't even have to tell them that. He owes them no explanation. But he or she is going to be surprised on that great day. Let me look in the book of Romans chapter 1 and the verse 20, because there are those that know that there's a God. They have not said that there is not a God, but yet they're acting as if there's no God. Romans chapter 1 and the verse is 24. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. There is a God, but yet I'm not going to acknowledge him. I'm going to act like that I don't know him, but by the deeds in which I do. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I'm going to pay the price. So we need to quit acting like, you know, we don't know who God is. And we need to start telling the people about God, how good God has been to us and how good God is to us on this day. We need to examine our lives. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. This first, all that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things were continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. See, people forget sometimes about what God has done. People forget sometimes about the sinful state of people that were before them. They forget about those things, and as they forget about those things, they ask questions as this. When is he coming? You've been saying that for a long time. When is he coming? Don't know. But you know what? You need to be ready. You need to be ready. But we wait for our ride sometime. And as we wait for our ride sometime is a little late. Our ride sometime may be a little early. But the thing that we need to realize is this. Whenever that ride gets there, we need to be ready for it. We need to be ready. And when that ride comes, we need to get in. And we need to get on board. And we need to go to wherever that ride is supposed to take us. God's word is our ride. It's our direction on how we're supposed to be living our lives. We need to do what we're supposed to do. There is a God. But for those that do not acknowledge him, it is going to be a great surprise on that great day. Because he's coming. Not when it's expected. You know, we're looking out the window. We're waiting. The storm is coming. Preached that on last week, right? There's a storm coming. When is it coming? Oh, it's coming. Well, when is the Lord going to return? He is going to return. I can't give you a time. I can't give you a date. I can't even, you know, try to guesstimate it. You know, we got a lot of people out there that has been telling that the world is going to end on this date. Remember, I preached a sermon on that. And back in 1988, they gave 88 reasons that the Lord was going to return in 88. That was 88 lies. 88 lies. Can you believe that? They gave the exact date in which he was going to come. They know something that God didn't even tell his son. That's good, isn't it? But that's a good liar. That's a good liar. But the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. So we need to prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves because when he comes, he's not going to give a warning. He's not going to give us a phone call before he shows up. He's just coming because he doesn't know himself. He's going to do what the Father tells him to do. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Verse 43, but know this. If the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Come on, get everything in order. He's coming. He's coming at the midnight hour. He's coming at the 1 o'clock hour, the 2 o'clock, the 3, the 4, the 5, the 6. And you can continue on, and you will not get it right. You will not get it right. If we knew the hour in which he was coming, how would we live our lives? There are some things that some of us may like to do. That's of the world. And we said, oh, well, Jesus is coming back next week. Man, I'm finna have some fun. How many of you would have went put a bed on a horse yesterday? You know, thinking that God is not sending his son back. I can go and bed on this horse. Some of y'all probably did anyway. I can ask for forgiveness for it. But if you haven't asked for forgiveness, you need to do so now. This next minute is not yours. Your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. You're going to be judged according to what you have done while you were living. Amen. So let's get our lives in order and understand that it's not when it is expected. He's coming as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. As a thief in the night, he's coming. Oh, wouldn't we like to know when that thief is coming to our house? You know, have you ever used that? Oh, I wish I could catch him. I hope that he's doing something that he's not supposed to be doing, and I catch him in the act of it. I remember living on Fort Knox. We used to leave my car unlocked all the time. One of the MPs put a note in my car and said, you need to start locking your car. I said, I wish I would catch him putting a note in my car. I'm going to try to break his leg. He had no business in my car. His job was to check and see was it unlocked, maybe, but not to open the door and put a note inside. But you know, a lot of times when we think something is going to happen, we watch for him today, we watch for him tomorrow, and then the next day we say, oh, we don't have to watch anymore, it's all clear. On that day is when we should have been watching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. That's concerning the times and the seasons, brothers. You have no need. You have no need to have anything written to you. No need at all. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, I don't want anyone in here going and ask anybody, when is the Lord going to return? And if you do ask that question, here's the answer that should be given. When the Father sends him. When the Father sends him. When is that going to be? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know that the Father is going to send him. And a lot on that day, many people will be surprised. They will be surprised. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse is 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed.
Ghost. On that day, he's coming as a thief. He's coming as a thief. And everything that has been done, it will be made known. How many secrets do you have? How many secrets do you have? How many things have you done that you have told no one about? But on this day, they're going to be exposed. I thought I was going to get in. I thought I was going to be able to slip on in. No, no. There's not going to be any slipping in. If you get in, you get in. If you don't get in, it's all your fault. All your fault. Do you like surprises? Do you like surprises? When he comes, he's going to judge in righteousness. It is not according to what any man has said, but he's going to judge in righteousness. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And on this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Judge in righteousness. You know, Jesus came and he committed not one sin. Not one sin did he commit. Now, who better to be judged by? Who better to be judged by? A standard that we sometimes, we look at it, we say, I can never do enough that God would be pleased with me. And you know what? That's absolutely right. But if we just do what he tells us to do, he will be pleased with us. We need to do those things. All our deeds, public and secret. All our deeds, public and secret, they're going to be made known on that day. Well, I thought that I was getting away with something. I know that people tell me that I've done things wrong and I need to make a confession of these things. I know I need to go to God and I need to ask God to forgive me for those things, but I really don't think I need to. And I think, again, God, he understands my heart. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows that I really want to do right. Well, if you want to do right, guess what? Do right. Quit doing what's wrong. Because God does know. He knows our hearts. He knows everything in which we're thinking. Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Romans 2, verse 16. On that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. On that day. What day? This is the day that God sends his son back. This is the day in which we call the judgment day, the Lord's day. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a day again in which we need to examine our lives right now in order that we may be prepared for it then. We got a past life that we're looking at. We have a present life in which we're living now. And we have a future. We may not be living, but we have a future. And our future could be in heaven. That could be our home. God is going to judge us according to all that we have done. Not part of what we have done, but all that we have done. He is going to judge us. There is a standard. There is a standard in John chapter 12, verse 48. You know, I hear men sometimes saying that, you know, the bar has been set. Oh, you know, the preacher that was before you, he set the bar. No preacher has set any bar. The only one that has set a standard that we should be following, that we should be trying to measure up to, is the standard that God has set in his word. That is what we need to be looking at in John chapter 12, verse 48. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. This is the standard right here. If we have not kept his word, we are going to be judged by it regardless. I remember a man telling me
me long ago when I tried to tell him, you know, what you're doing is wrong. You shouldn't be doing those things. He said, ah, la, 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 la. If I don't know, I will not be judged. You are lying. You will be judged. Regardless of whether or not you want to admit it or not, you still will be judged. You can turn a deaf ear to his word if you want to. You're still going to be judged by it. This is the standard. His word is the standard. But Lord, I doesn't matter. You could have read it for yourself. You should have read it for yourself. Because it's all right here. A song we sing from time to time, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him. Just because we do not mention someone or mention him to someone doesn't mean that that someone will not be judged by that someone. You understand that? But we do have an obligation, though, to preach the word, to teach people about God, to teach people about the love that he has had for the world, that he sent his only begotten son, to teach them those things. We have an obligation. But if I fail to teach them, the next man need to. I'm going to give an account for what I don't do. But for that man that does not obey, because we can all pick it up for ourselves. Was the eunuch not reading the scriptures? Sitting there reading, but yet he did not understand he was reading. Now, he could have possibly came across something that he did understand, and if he did not keep those things in which he read that he did understand, he's going to be judged by it. But then there's those other things which we find that Philip explained to him, preached unto him, Jesus, so that he may fully understand what he was supposed to do. He didn't say, I don't want to hear it, don't tell me. No. Tell me, who is he talking about, himself or some other prophet? The Bible says, Philip preached unto him Jesus. Jesus needed to be preached to a lot of people in order for a lot of people not to be surprised on the great day. The great day in which Jesus comes back. There's no excuses. Lord, let me appeal this. Give me a do-over. So, heaven or hell is going to be the end result. Heaven or hell. You can't spend, you know, a little time in heaven then go spend a little time in hell. It's not going to happen. How many of us would want to go spend a little time in hell anyway? If we're honest with ourselves about the life in which we're living, there's a lot of us that said, I don't mind going to hell. Don't mind at all. And then we would even think, well, that's really not a heaven. That's really not a hell. Everything is going to be okay. I can live the way I want to live. God is not going to judge me according to what I'm doing now. He's going to overlook that. And then maybe he may punish me for a little while, and I may get out. May get out. So, you're not going to get out if you go to hell. You're not going to be able to leave if you go to heaven. So let's do what's right and be pleasing to God. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. And hope, Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Because of what you are doing, because of what we are doing, because of your, you know, impenitent heart. You don't want to change. You don't want to say, Lord, forgive me for these things. You don't want to have a change of mind and go in a different direction. He says in verse 6, he will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Verse 9. There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek. For God shows no partiality. He is going to judge every man according to his word. you didn't know any better. I'm going to give you. No, he's not going to do that. He's not going to even judge us. You know how the teachers, I'm a grade y'all on the curve. And if I grade you on the curve, you know, that's going to, you know, because you're one of my favorite pupils. And you know, if you wouldn't have changed that answer, you could have made an A and you could have continued to keep that 5.0 or 4, whatever those things are. He's not going to grade you on the curve. He's not going to judge us on the curve. You're going to get what you get. And the end is, don't throw a fit. You're going to get it. I remember, you know, teachers sometimes grading on the curve as I was in school, and she looked at some of us and she said, some of y'all, it's not going to help. It's not going to help you. So we need to think about our lives right now and understand that when God sends his son, and we're there, and we're standing before him, and we're waiting on that judgment to be passed. See, a lot of us, you know, right now we know if we die, where we're going to spend all eternity. Right now we know this. See, we can know. We can know by the way we live, by the things in which we do, by looking at his word and keeping his word. We know. Paul said he knew. There's a crown that's laid up for me. It's going to be given by whom? The righteous judge. But he said, it's not for me only, but for all those that love his appearing. How many of us are longing to see God send his son back? That we would love to see him coming back in the clouds of glory with his mighty angels. How many of us can say that? You know, when you're driving down the highway, and I want some of y'all to listen to this very carefully. When you're driving down the highway and that state trooper comes up behind you with those red and blue lights, how many of us can say, he's not after me? And how many of us will just pull over and start pulling out our ID because we know that he's after us? See, when God sends his son back, all that are in the graves will rise. Some to the resurrection of eternal life in heaven, and some to the resurrection of eternal damnation in hell. It's a choice. It's a choice, and we need to make the right choices because judgment day is coming. It is coming. And it's everlasting. It is not a summer vacation. You know, it's cold here, and I'm going to go over there until the cold weather passes. This is not anything like that. Yeah, a lot of our friends are going to be in hell, but do we want to go there with them? No. No. We don't want to go there with them. We want to go to heaven. We want to go to a place where we don't have to worry about any crying. We don't have to worry about any dying. We don't have to worry about any pain.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about any of those things.
Amen.
All we have to do is praise God around the throne. Are you ready? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He says these words, in flame and fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Eternal, everlasting. Both of them mean the same thing. But what some would say, well, there's not going to be an eternal hell, but the Bible says that it's everlasting. That's what the Bible says. Just like an eternal heaven or everlasting heaven. There is an eternal hell and an everlasting hell. So we need to get ourselves ready for it. Where do you want to spend your eternity? You know, sometime again, when we pack for trips, we pack things that we don't need. We need to pack just enough for this trip. We need to fill our minds with his word and our actions by his word. We need to continue to do those things that are right. For he says in Revelation chapter 20 and the verses 10, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and suffer where the beast and the false prophet were, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. It's a long time, isn't it?
It's a long time. We can't put an end to it. We have no idea. We cannot say it's going to stop right here because the Bible doesn't say that it's going to stop. It is forever and ever. Forever and ever. Are you ready? Are you ready for that great day? Luke chapter 16, verse 24. Luke chapter 16, verse 24. Rich man and Lazarus. You know, the old rich man. Let him go back and talk to my brothers. Let him tell my brothers that they need to do the things that are right. It's not going to happen. Once a person goes, he goes. Can't come back. It says in verse 24, Luke chapter 16, and he called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish." In anguish. I want us to look at this. Anguish in this flame. See, we can go outside, and it's supposed to get a little warm today. But we can go inside and we can cool off. In hell, when it gets warm, which is not warm at all, it's actually hot. There's not any cooling off at all. He just wanted just a drop of water on his tongue. Just a little bit of relief. You know, we go out there and we get sunburned and we can put some suntan lotion on or some type of ornament in order to take care of that sunburn. It's not happening in hell. It's not happening. No relief whatsoever. No going to get a prescription from the doctor. You've already been prescribed what your destiny is, what your medication is. Everlasting torment because of the life in which you have lived. Are you ready? Surprise! Surprises on the judgment day. For that individual that says that there's no God. For that individual that think that they know when he's coming back, but yet he's coming back unexpected. There will be no excuses on that day. Are you ready? Are you ready? I believe that as we think about this subject and think about the many things in which God has done, Jesus spoke a lot on the judgment. He spoke a lot on spending your eternity separated away from him. He spent a lot of time on it. Why? Because it's important. It's just as important as knowing that we should love him. So therefore, he tells us the things in which we should do in order not to go to hell. So when you talk about heaven, you need to talk about hell. When you talk about the good, you need to talk about the bad. When you talk about those things, when you talk about the Father, you need to talk about the devil.
Amen.
We need to do what is right. We need to know that not part of God's word is true, but all of God's word is true.
Amen.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. We want to encourage you to become one. You understand that Jesus is the Son of God. You understand that when you do something that is not right, it is a sin. You understand that the only way to get rid of those sins, the alien sinner, is to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, going down into the watery grave, rising to walk a newness of life. That is the only way to put Christ on. You can't pray him on. No one can lay their hands on you and you receive him. You have to put him on through baptism. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. As many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You don't think that baptism saves? Die in your sins. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You did not obey the gospel, you're not getting in. You're not just that simple, isn't it? God's word is plain.
Amen.
Why not believe it today? Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're asking you to come back. We're asking you to confess your faults. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you confess your faults, he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So you haven't done anything that no one else has never done before. You haven't done anything that God would not forgive you for. If you would only ask.
Amen.
If you would only ask. Are you willing to ask this morning for forgiveness? If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.